Welcome to Shit Your Teenagers Won't Tell You, a podcast about everything you need to know about teens.
I'm Kathy.
And I'm Meredith, and we speak teenager.
Did we also mention that we're best friends?
We've worked as admission officers, prep school administrators, and most importantly, have coached thousands of teens. In other words, we have seen it all.
So join us every week as we give you the lowdown on all the shit your teenager isn't telling you. Because trust us, there's a lot of it. And if you don't know what to do with the teenagers in your life, don't worry, we've got your back. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Shit Your Teenagers Won't Tell You. And today we're going to talk about a topic that we have talked about ad nauseum, but we're going to talk about it some more because you can't really talk about it enough. And that is, drumroll please, motivation.
But what if I don't feel like talking about motivation?
Too fucking bad. Because we're talking about it. Okay?
Okay.
This is coming up for me because I have multiple conversations with my kiddos recently who have said to me, because I don't feel like it. And this was in the context of their grades. Okay, so I'm like looking at this couple of new students, actually, newer students that I'm getting to know. And I was like, looking at your transcripts, like, are you happy? Do you feel like this is representative of your effort and your ability? Are you happy with what your transcript is showing right now? Because I don't want to judge a transcript just based on the grades that are there. Like, tell me about what's going on. Give me some context. And the student said to me, no, I think I could do much better. I was like, oh, tell me more. What's going on?
Yeah.
And they said, well, I don't feel like doing schoolwork a lot of times, so I don't do it. Like, it's really hard for me to get motivated to do it. I don't feel like it. And anyways, I won't go into all of it. But the point is,
you love hearing that.
I love hearing what?
I don't feel like it.
I don't feel like it. Yeah.
That goes over really well with Kathy Chen.
Yeah. My dad used to just threaten to beat us if we didn't feel like doing something. And that was really motivating. I'm slightly abusive, but also really motivating. Fear is a real good motivator. And I had another kid, similar story. I'm like, what's going on? You know, why are the grades here? Where they are right now? Well, I just don't. I know what I need to do, but I just most of the time I don't feel like doing it. So I don't. Okay?
Yeah.
Then I have another kid. So this is all happening within 2 weeks. I have another kid who says to me, his grades are actually fine, but he's taking a really hard course load, super, super rigorous, much more rigorous than he needs to be taking or should be taking. It's not appropriate, which we warned him about, and he did not listen and did what he wanted to do anyways, and now he's laying in his messy bed and he hates it. He's like, oh, why did I do this to myself? I'm like, good question, my friend. But he's miserable, is overwhelmed with the amount of work that he needs to do, and some days he's like, I just can't do it. Like, it's too much. And I was like, that's called burnout. And he's like, I can't motivate myself to do it. I don't feel like doing it. And I was like, ooh, that's tricky because that's like severe overwhelm. Right. Right. That's bordering.
Yeah, that's different.
That's a little bit different. But I've been having a lot of these conversations around feeling like doing schoolwork. Now, for you parents out there who are listening, how many of you really felt like doing your homework as a kid? Like, you were just like, oh, can't wait to do my calculus homework. I do know kids like that. But
I think my little nerdball parents probably felt that way.
Yeah, your nerdball parents probably did. I'll tell you, my parents definitely didn't feel that way. And I certainly did not feel that way. And I would say, I don't have data around this, but I would anecdotally just say most of the teenagers we talk to don't feel like doing their homework. It's not a lot of
it's not. Involved. Well, let's be honest. A lot of homework in high school is
dumb. Boring. Yeah.
It's boring. It's not relevant to their lives. It's not contemporary. And to some degree, that's not the point. The point is to sort of be, I mean, I don't think that's great teaching, but that's a different story. Yeah, this conversation around motivation is always one that's quite tricky for me. And I think there's some cultural realities, maybe for both you and I, that also play a role here, because I feel like I never really grew up believing that just feeling like doing something. I think I always understood that sometimes we have to do things that we don't feel like doing. I'm trying to think where that came from, how that was modeled for me. And so this question of motivation versus discipline, I think they're both really important to talk about with kids and to think about, you know, motivation, right? We have extrinsic and intrinsic motivation. And I know that a lot of parents get frustrated with their children because they lack, or they perceive they lack, intrinsic motivation. And I just think it's kind of a big ask of a 14, 15, 16-year-old to be so intrinsically motivated by like AP US history.
Not going to be. Or by learning for the sake of learning.
I mean, I know teachers want that. Yeah, teachers want that. And I think it's just, and that is a wonderful ideal to strive to. And I think cultivating enthusiasm and joy around learning helps cultivate that attitude. But if that hasn't been your child's experience throughout their schooling, because by the time they get to high school, if they haven't already experienced the joy of learning, it's not that it's too late. It's that it's much easier to cultivate intrinsic motivation when kids are younger. And it's easier to cultivate discipline at that stage as well. I just think we need to be realistic about developmentally where teenagers are at. I believe a lot more in discipline than I do in motivation. What about you?
Yeah, I do too. And I think that what I've been telling my kids is like, your motivation isn't, like, what they're looking for is motivation in the moment to want to do their homework. And what I'm telling them is, what your motivation is actually looking at the bigger picture of what you want for your life and the person that you want to be.
But that is so developmentally antithetical to where they are. That requires a capacity to think long term. That's so many teenagers.
Right.
They can do it, but it's really hard. They're so immediate and urgent in their gratification.
Yeah. Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Like, what do I want to do right now? I want to go on Sephora and buy makeup. So I'm going to do that. What do I want right now? I want a snack. What do I want right now? I want to hang out with my best friend.
Are you talking about you and me?
Oh, whoops. Yes, I think I was.
I was like, snack, best friend. Okay.
Sephora? Yes, let's go.
Yeah, okay, let's go.
Great. Yeah, but I think that it's possible for teenagers to step back and clarify for themselves. I have this really cool app. Shameless plug for Village's cool new app in the App Store. It's called the Value Sort. One of my juniors actually built it for me, so it's extra cool. But I've been having all of my kids do their Value Sort. We have a deck of cards too, which I used to do it like hard copy, analog style, old school. But now we're in the digital age. So now that card sort is digital. So I'm having all my students redo their card sorts, because I'm like, let's do it again because it changes. And let's clarify your top values. And are you actually living those values, right? Like, check in with yourself about that stuff every once in a blue moon. You don't have to do it every day. But I'm going to check in with you every week and we're going to actually talk about it. And one of the things I told one of my students is, let's wave a magic wand. What does your life look like 3 years from now? What do you hope it looks like 3 years from now? And are you doing what you need to be that person? Mm-hmm. Right? And if the answer is yes, fantastic, let's do more of it. If the answer is no, where are the things that, where are some of the habits, what are some of the mindsets that you think you need to work on shifting over the next year or two? And especially around things you don't want to do, right? Mm-hmm. So my parents use, carrots and sticks are really effective. They're not very sticky. So
no,
they're not great, but in the moment they work. So my parents use sticks, right? Yelling, threats, punishment, right? All of that stuff. And that's not to say that there isn't a place for consequences, but my parents carried a big stick and they used it. They're like, oh, hell no. And it's interesting, like, you and I were both deans.
Yeah.
How would you define your deaning style?
I know where you're going.
Okay.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I would say mine, because I think you're sort of saying to replicate kind of our own experiences mm-hmm. with our parents.
Yes.
I suppose mine did. I was not a kid who required carrots or sticks because I was so compliant and I just sort of did what I needed to do. So I can't say I had a lot of experience with that growing up. But what I did have a lot of experience was explaining myself, right? So I would say my dating style was definitely like, here are the guidelines, here are the expectations. Those expectations are high and there will be natural consequences if those expectations aren't met. And we're going to talk about it. And you're going to have to do a lot of critical self-reflection. So it was a lot of that. I was Socratic. But there were consequences. You know, I gave kids boundaries and you know me, I'm pretty direct with teens. I'm sort of like, that was dumb. Why'd you do that? But I wasn't harsh. Very restorative, you know.
Learning. Yeah. I think you and I are very similar. And I think that's what I tell parents.
That's how we coach, right? I mean, you and I are probably more like of our coaches. I don't know. Are we like the most direct? I don't know. That's
you
true.
Mean we're direct or mean? Just kidding.
We are not mean.
Okay, fine. I mean,
you might be mean.
I'm a little mean sometimes. I'm like, seriously? WTF, my friend.
Yeah, I did say this week. I was like, well, that was nonsense. Don't do that again. What were you thinking?
Totally.
Let's go back to this conversation about discipline. And I'm trying to think about for parents, you know, gosh, man, if you have young kids, please start this now. I was talking to a friend of mine and they have two younger kids, like 7 and 10. And they were kind of griping about the mornings were being like a little discombobulated and hard and everybody was rushing and da 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 da. And I said, well, what's the routine in the morning? And there is kind of a routine, but it's not sort of demonstrative. So if you look at elementary school kids and like an elementary school classroom, there's usually like a checklist, like a cleanup checklist that's like posted on the wall. Like first we put in our chairs and then we put our like crayon boxes away and then we do this and then we do that. So one of the things to build discipline in children is routines where they have really clear expectations, like almost like a checklist. So before I get up, like, let's just say it's little kids, right? Did I brush my teeth? Did I make my bed? Did I put my clothes in the hamper? And there's a checklist that they can check off. And that's their routine every single morning, right? That builds discipline because every single morning, they're not going to feel like doing those things. They're not going to feel like brushing their teeth. They're not going to feel like making their bed. But by the time they get to be 15, they have had practice. So discipline, like anything else, is a muscle we build with practice. And so what advice would you have for parents of teenagers, older kids, to build discipline muscles if they don't have it?
Well, this is a story I've told you already, but it reminds me about something that happened this past weekend. I went skiing. Okay.
Yes.
Parents got to toe the line, man, and it is freaking hard. And yeah, I do not envy that job, but I do think the consistency and clarity mm-hmm. is huge. And yeah, following through with consequences is huge yep. because this is what happened this weekend was we went skiing with some friends with small children, 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. Okay.
Ooh, did
I tell you the story? I think
someone
I did tell you the story.
Naughty.
Somebody was being naughty.
Somebody was being
naughty. Yep. 4-year-old locks herself and her brother, her 2-year-old brother, inside the bedroom. Okay.
On purpose.
Okay. The negotiations are happening through the door. Parents are starting to panic. I hear the panic starting to rise as the daughter is saying, no, I will not open the door. And I go, can you open the door, please? And she says, no. And I said, is it because you don't know how to open it or is it because you don't want to open it? And she goes, I know how to open it. I'm not going to do it, though. And I was like, oh, girl.
The wrong one. She came for the wrong one.
So anyways, so I promptly busted out my insurance card and broke the door down.
Of course you did.
I picked the lock. Parents are freaking out right now, going to the window, knocking on windows, open the door, open the door, open the door, open the door. And I was like, oh, hell no. I'm just busting my way in. So I busted in. She shocked.
Yeah. I
shocked. And I said, ooh, you are busted. Dad came in, took her away, picked her up, went and sat her down in a chair. You know, you gave her a talking to. She's crying, crying, crying. I hate you. I hate you. I want my mommy. Give me my mommy. Mommy comes, comforts her. And then now she's asking for gummy bears. I want gummy bears because I'm crying and I'm upset. And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I don't hear. We're in our bedroom. We're kind of just like sitting on the bed, looking at our phones, letting them have their moment. So a little girl comes, and we've known her whole life. She comes into our bedroom, my partner and I, and she walks into the bedroom with a bag of gummy bears. They're not opened yet, but she walks in with a bag of gummy bears, and she says, I want gummy bears. I have gummy bears. And I was like, you shouldn't have gummy bears. You were naughty. And my partner says the same thing. He's like, ooh, yeah, you were naughty. And she runs away crying. She's so upset that we have called her out on her bad behavior. But you know what? I did not feel bad about that. And I was like, as parents, y'all need to toe the line and be like, no, you cannot touch this bag of gummy bears.
Right. You're not getting gummy bears.
Sniff this bag of gummy bears.
Don't even look at the gummy
bears. Don't even think about gummy bears until we have finished this discussion or you've sat in your timeout or done the thing that you need to do.
This is why it's so much easier to do these things with little kids.
Yeah.
I mean, not that it's easy. I want to be clear. It's not easy, but when you're trying to teach a 16-year-old discipline for the first time, it's going to be harder. The storms are bigger, my friend.
Right. When you've been given the gummy bears until they're 16 and then you're like, no gummy bears for you. They're like,
no, you can't go to prom. No, you can't get your license. You can't get a car.
You can't go out this weekend.
You can't go out this weekend. You didn't get caught up on your homework. No, you can't. Get ready.
Yeah. But anyway, it reminds me of this story. Two stories actually this weekend remind me of this whole discipline, like picking yourself up and doing the thing that's hard, which I told you I was falling down this mountain. I went on a black, which is a mistake because I don't actually know how to ski and I haven't skied in 4 years. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing on this black? And it was like a major dump in California this weekend and it was all powder. Like I had no business being on a black diamond. Okay. I was foolish, foolhardy. Overconfident as per usual. So
I know. I was like, this is so typical, Kathy.
I know. I'm just,
I got this. It's fine.
I can do it. It's fine. So, you know, I just tumbling.
Kathy snowball coming down the mountain.
Oh, totally. Just tumbling my ass down the mountain, falling, 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 trying to get myself up. And for those of you who ski, it's really hard to get up from a fall in skis. It's incredibly challenging. And thank God, I was like, damn, I'm in good shape because I picked myself up this mountain 8 times. One time, face floored, planted in the mountain. Straight up, like just had to wipe the snow off of my goggles because I was face planted with my legs behind me. I was like, good God. Breathing laboriously. Hey, like, like, oh my God. Am I... I'm almost 50 people. It's not safe for me to be skiing down blacks. Anyways, so I keep picking myself up and I'm thinking, wow, this is exactly like what I tell my teenagers. Like, you are on the black diamond. You're on the mountain. Like, you have no choice. You can do hard things. And that was the thing I had to tell myself. I was like, you can do hard things. You've done hard things and you can keep doing them. Do hard things. Keep doing it.
Do one hard thing a day.
What? Do hard things. And, you know, and that's one of the things that I like to remind my teenagers of is that you can do hard things. I've watched you do hard things. And as parents, push your kids to do hard things, right? Because it's more evidence for themselves and their brains to be like, I have actually done this hard thing before and I will keep doing this hard thing.
Yeah, right? That's self-esteem, right? That's how we have an intrinsic belief in ourselves and our abilities. And that's resilience. It's important to wellness. But what if you have a really resistant kid? You know, because the problem is that
send him to military school.
All right. That seems like maybe there's some intermediary steps we could take.
Oh, no. I'd be like, peace out, homie. Military for you.
Really?
Get ready for your buzz cut.
Oh, gosh. Well, for those families listening, no, I know for sure that you would. Here's what you would do. This is what Kathy would do, friends. Yeah, this is what she would do. First of all, she would probably like take her kid to one of those scared straight walk through prison programs and like really mess with the, like, kind of just like fuck them up a little bit.
Meredith, I don't need to take my kids to a scared straight program. I am the scared straight
program. I mean,
program.
I was going to say, there was a part of me that before I said that, I was like, you would gather all your friends from high school and just like.
Bro, I don't need to gather my friends from high school. I would just take them to my family.
That's a good point, actually. Just take
them. You
know
my family.
Yeah, that's a good point. Just hang out.
I'd be like, you're going to go stay with your Auntie Carol and Uncle Harry.
I was like, Auntie Carol is coming for you.
Yeah, exactly. She'll tell you about Scared Straight. You'll be like, can I come home now? I'd be like, no.
I'm good now, I promise. Yeah, then you'd send them to military school. Then you'd probably make them find an apartment. Then they'd probably come to my place and be like, please help me. And I'd probably feel bad for them.
Well, one of the things which is like tangentially related to this topic is I think it's really good for parents to really investigate what is actually a privilege in this family. Like, please investigate that, because sometimes you get let your kids do all sorts of things they don't need to be doing. Like,
yeah, guys. What's a right? What's a privilege? What are we normalizing?
Yes.
I think
yes.
That's a really good point. I think that's a really good point. And I also think it's really important to model self-discipline. If you want disciplined kids, they need to see examples of that. They don't just automatically – human nature isn't automatically going to be disciplined. It's not. It's going to be controlled by the back part of our brain for a while. So they need examples of that. And even – moments and opportunities where you all can do that together, right? We take time in the morning on a Saturday to clean the house together before we go do the fun thing that we're going to go do as a family. So there's just normalizing that chores, normalizing that you live in community, normalizing that we have to do things to keep a safe and happy, healthy, clean home, all that stuff. You wanted a dog, you got to take care of it. You know, just responsibility builds character. It builds discipline so that when the student is encountering something that they don't really feel like doing, they're not quote unquote motivated to do, there's capacity there.
Well, you got to let your kids suffer. Like, I know that that feels antithetical to parenting because you want to protect your kids as a parent. But I think you got to let your kids suffer a little bit more. Like, you have to be able to manage your own discomfort in watching your kids suffer and be miserable about something and really unhappy. Like, I hate soccer. I hate it. Everybody's mean. I suck. People make fun
of me. And I hate you.
Oh, I hate you. That happened this weekend with the gummy bears. I heard a lot of I hate yous.
I hate you.
I hate you. I miserate this bit. And you still have to be like, well, your
parents playing off each other. I want mommy. I want daddy. I'm going to go ask dad.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to be like, yeah, I know you hate soccer and I know you hate me, but you're still finishing out the season. Let's go get your stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Finish things you start. It's okay if they don't want to play soccer next year, but they need to finish things they start. And it's just, I'm trying to think, okay, I'm trying to think of students I've worked with. So these are high school students where there's real weakness here. Like, they really are incapacitated to follow through on things. Yeah. And I'm trying to think, okay, how do I build that in them? If we're really starting from zero,
yep.
Because there's plenty of kids we work with that are starting from zero at that age, which is unfortunate, but okay, how do we build that? And for me, I think I tend to focus on routines. I start with routine. You know, what is a routine we can follow? It's just getting them in the habit of doing the same thing all the time and build from there with habits. What do you do? How do you sort of intervene?
Military school. Just kidding.
Okay. That's Kathy's solution.
Well, for everything. You know,
we're naming this episode, Should You Send Your Child to Military School?
Yeah, you want discipline? Y'all know something that I was watching Malcolm in the Middle where they sent their oldest son to military school. I was like, that's so funny and on brand for this character. She's just like a no-nonsense mom. She's like, whatever. She's like, if you don't do this, you're going to military school. And then the next scene, they cut to him in military school. And the kid responds with, you're not going to send me to military school, please. And the next scene, they cut to him in military school.
Right. She said, try me.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's so me as a parent. Like, oh, yeah, well, I'm happy to send you to military school.
There was this really great Michelle Obama clip going around recently about how, you know, she really believes that She's like, I'm not my kid's friend. You know, parents aren't their kid's friend. You know, yes. You need to help them practice who they're going to be. Yep. You can't be their friend.
Yes, Michelle, preach.
Michelle.
It's so true, though. I really do think
so that's true.
Parents get themselves in trouble. I mean, I know this episode is about motivation and discipline, but a lot of times kids are not resilient because they haven't been forced to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we have to be real about this. And I suppose you could have this aberrant child that just was resistant from birth. But a lot of the most undisciplined kids that we see that are really unmotivated, a lot of that comes from well-intentioned parents who have done too much for them, who have rescued them too much. They haven't had to suffer. Things have come easily to them. They haven't had to go out and do the things. They haven't had to do chores. They haven't, right? Like, we see the common denominators.
Yeah, we do. And I feel bad because I'm imagining a parent right now who's listening to us and being like, stop shitting on me. It's really fucking hard to be a parent. You don't get it.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's fair, right? There are definitely things we don't get. But we do get kids and we do see the consequences of that. And no one's on this episode, I think, is saying any of this is easy. And you're going to mess up as a parent. You're going to give in. You're going to, like, in the name of keeping the peace, right? You're going to cave on a thing. It's not, perfection's not the goal here. I think progress is the goal. And again, helping your children become independent adults. They need discipline to live in an adult world. Hard facts. Facts. And they can't do that. They don't magically summon that at 30.
Yeah. Well, and I've said this in other episodes, but I do think sending your kids away, I'm being serious. I'm not talking about military school.
I know. You're talking about literally, like, they should go canoeing in the Adirondacks or something.
I do think it's good. I mean, you know, my partner has done that as a child. And I think he's actually not that resilient. I'm more resilient. And, like, why am I resilient? I'm resilient because of a lot of scary shit happening when I was a kid. So I don't recommend that.
Yeah.
That's not.
Yeah, that's not. We can be resilient without quite so much trauma.
That's correct. And I do think that you have to create struggle for your kids, right? You don't want to, like, no child should have to go through something horrible, like the death of a loved one or, you know, whatever. You don't want your kids to have to experience that, for sure. But you do want them to face challenge. That's why I'm a fan of sending them away, because I think they need that separation and space from you to be able to figure out their own struggle, right?
And their own strategies.
Right. Like, I like the idea of going to camp, going away to camp, because your mom is not there to help you get to sleep at night when you feel scared or anxious or worried, right? Mm-hmm. You just figure it out because your mom is 2,000 miles away and there's no phone for you to pick up to call. There's no internet service. You're not going to Google it. You can't ask ChatGPT. You have no, your best friend isn't there in the bunk with you. Like, you're just going to have to figure it out.
I think actually that's a really great point, is that technology often robs, because it's so distracting and ubiquitous, it robs students of sitting with their uncomfortable feelings.
Yes.
And so I definitely think something short of sending them away is really having parameters around technology, even as they're in high school. It just shouldn't be carte blanche. Like, talk about a good example of distinguishing something as a privilege still. It's not just carte blanche access. And they're going to tell you, well, that's how I need this for keeping in touch with my friends because we talk about homework. You know what? Take it away anyway. They'll figure it out. It's not the worst thing in the world for them to learn how to do their homework independently. Like, it's okay. A lot of the reasons kids are going to give you are nonsense. They're going to be compelling and they're very convincing, but they're fine. And again, that's part of the struggle we're talking about, because going back to our sort of original thread, motivation may or may not be present. It may help you get something started, but discipline is almost always what finishes something.
Yeah. It's easy to be motivated for things that you want to do, right? Kids are like, I'm really motivated to play soccer. I'm really motivated to learn my speech for my tournament this weekend, because you want to do that. right? But where do you find the motivation when you don't want to do something? You don't. You're probably not going to feel motivated.
Yeah, you're not going to feel motivated.
And it's okay. Do it. Yeah, that's the lesson, is that it's okay. You don't have to feel motivated.
Feelings are not a prerequisite for action.
Right. One, the feelings that kids are acting on is, you know, the feeling of dread, the feeling of boredom, the feeling of confusion, like whatever negative feeling it is, right? We've talked about this in our procrastination episode. But that's ultimately the skill that they need to build, is how do I cope with my discomfort? How do I cope with unpleasant feelings? How can I get myself to a place where I can take action?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the skills that we're trying to work on with kids.
It was interesting. I had a call this week where a student was telling me over and over and over again about, so it's some project they have to complete and it has a lot of component parts and they haven't really done them and they've been procrastinating and their mom got mad at them for it. And, you know, I was just sort of getting caught up on the whole situation. And the student kept repeating over and over, I'm just not motivated to do this. I'm just not motivated to do this. I'm just not motivated, blah, 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 blah. I said, okay, say more. And they were like, well, what about this? And what if this? And what if this? There was a lot of what ifs that followed. And they said, is there any chance we could replace motivation, the word, with I'm afraid?
Mm-hmm.
And really what it was about for this kid is that they were afraid. They were afraid that this project, which involved recruiting other people, that no one would want to do it with them. They were afraid that the teacher that was going to help them would say no to the request for help. They were afraid of all these worst case scenarios. And so therefore they were procrastinating on starting, but they were couching that in terms of motivation. They were saying they weren't motivated to do it. And really they were mostly afraid of rejection. And that's a problem. You know, that's a problem that this kid was so afraid. So we spent the call. It was like, guess what? We're going to do it. And you're going to prove to yourself that it could feel uncomfortable. You might not get a response right away. And you know what? The sky doesn't fall. You're still okay. We're fine.
Yep.
But that experience was really unsettling. Like, we did it. They did it. We got through it. But the level of distress around something pretty simple was high.
Mm-hmm.
And all that shows me is that we have to practice so that we desensitize this particular student to things being that something that might be scary is to be avoided.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I actually see that a lot with parents actually passing that fear on to their kids because they're fearful of something and they're like anxious and worried. And instead of keeping that anxiety and worry to themselves, they're expressing it to their child.
Yeah.
And the kid is like, oh shit, I should be scared about this, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, I'm supposed to be scared, but if my mom's scared, I'm definitely scared.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's a good place for a parent to catch themselves too, because a lot of times that's what's happening for kids, this anxiety, fear, worry, right? And they absolutely pick up on that if the adults
modeling
in their lives. Right. If the adults in their lives are doing that, they're likely to do the same thing. Yeah. So you got to be the calm. We used to say that in our college counseling presentation. That was the imagery one of our college counselors, who was also an English teacher, used to use. He's like, so you're in this rocky sea. Okay. Mm. Your kids are in a rowboat and they're just rocking along and the waves are coming at them and it's spilling into the boat and they don't know where they're headed. And what you need to be, parents, is the shore.
Mm.
You need to be solid ground that they can aim their sad little dinghy towards and know that it's going to be there for them. And when they get there, it's going to be safe. It's like, it's okay. You've got to be the shore.
Okay.
Yeah. You've got to be the shore. You've got to be the one to reassure them and be like, you got this. You can do this.
Yeah, but you got to let them row that boat towards you. You can't get in a row for them.
But don't get in there because you're going to sink.
You're going to capsize. You'll mess it up.
That's right.
And that's going to require, especially for parents of students in high school, not allowing the college process to be the driver, because so much of what I see is parents stepping in when they know they shouldn't. They'll even say, I know I shouldn't do it, but if they don't get their extracurricular profile together, or if they don't do this, then like, what's that going to look like down the road for college? And I want to say to them, which I usually do, what's it going to look like when they're 35?
Yeah. And oftentimes the stakes are actually lower than you think.
So much.
Yeah. I think parents will blow things up in their mind that they're like, this is so high stakes. And most of the time it's actually not that high stakes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Discipline better than motivation. And, you know, we've said it before and we'll say it a million times because it is such a topic of conversation in our coaching. It comes up constantly. And it's a challenge. It's not like Meredith and I tell kids, like, you do this thing. And then they're like, okay.
Because you said it.
Yeah. I'm disciplined now. Hell no. It's work. We have to repeat it over and over again. We have to keep holding up the mirror in front of them and show them what we're seeing. So it's not like an overnight transformation if you can do these things, right? It's a process.
Right.
But you can start the process.
Baby steps.
Yeah. If you know what you're looking for, you know what you're trying to instill in your kids, right? So anyways, that is all for today.
That is all for today.
I'm hungry.
Let's go eat.
All right. Bye, everybody.